Hello, my name is John, and welcome to Foot on the Rock. On this week's episode, we sat down with Sister Emily Minchie. She talks about the calling of God and the direction that God is leading her. She also talks about where God has taken her and the burdens that have been on her life. It is extremely impactful, and you will be blessed to listen to it. So let's hop into this week's episode. All right, so today we have Sister Minchie on the podcast. Thank you for making the time on being here, and I know that you're going to have an impact with whoever listens. So let's just kind of hop into this. Can you tell us a little about your testimony and also where you are currently, like what God is doing in your life right now?
Of course. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on today. So a little bit about me. I grew up in church, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized when I was just 9 years old. And I think a lot of times when we grow up in the church, we think like, oh, I don't have a testimony. Like, you know, church kids, they grew up sleeping under the pews. Like, they don't have a testimony. They've been in church their whole life. And I truly believe that everyone has a testimony. Everyone has a story to tell of the goodness of God in their lives. And for me, I really feel like that story kind of begins in kindergarten. And so take you back to kindergarten classroom, you know, happy-go-lucky little Emily running around the classroom. I started having migraines when I was six and started having some struggles in school. And my mom started noticing those, and she would like bring them to my teacher's attention. And my teacher, like, they thought I was just like, you know, a great student. I was super well behaved. They, you know, they loved me, and they didn't think there was anything wrong. And my mom just, she was just disturbed in her spirit. And I mean, I can remember going into first grade and coming home and just crying over homework. And, you know, like a first grader, like your homework is not hard. It's not something to like, that you should struggle with. And so my mom began to pray and begin to ask the Lord, like, God, like, what do I do? What I need to do here. And she really felt led to take me out of public school and to homeschool me. And at this point, like now, homeschooling right now is like a very like popular thing, right? Like everyone's homeschooled because of the COVID and everything going on right now. But at this time, my mom didn't have like any friends, none of our family homeschooled, none of our church homeschooled. Like she was jumping off the deep end. But she felt led, and so she obeyed the Lord, and she took me out of public school. And to make a longer story short, the process, I basically didn't learn how to read until I was nine, and that wasn't because of my mom was teaching me, but because of some learning struggles that I had. And I can remember just beating my head against the wall and doing school for hours and hours and hours, and it was just always a struggle. And as I got older, like I never had a diagnosis or like something to point towards as like a reason for those struggles. And as I got older, that turned into low self-esteem and the shame of not being good enough, not being good enough to learn, not being good enough to know how to spell or know how to read, or not being as good as even my younger brother who's doing school with me. He's 3 years younger. Like, why is he smarter than I am? Why was I not good enough? And so I really struggled with that. And so even though I knew God and I had a walk with him, this was just a really hard time in my life. And then the Lord kind of, he introduced baking into my world. My grandparents live like right beside us, and I was really close to my grandparents growing up. And my mom decided to have my grandma teach me how to bake. And so I would go over to her house, you know, sometimes during the week, and she'd teach me how to make pies and cinnamon rolls and cookies and all that good stuff. And I started doing these like monthly bake sales at my church to raise money for She's for Christ, which is now, you know, Move the Mission. But I started learning as I did those bake sales and started raising money for missions, that the world was bigger than just little me, and the world was bigger than just my problems. And I was able to take the focus off of my self-esteem issues and my struggles and point it towards something that was so much bigger and toward a purpose that was so much bigger than myself. And the Lord just started working in that. And from there, I went on a couple of different missions trips to Quebec City, Canada, and Montreal, Canada, and then to Ghana, Africa. And the Lord just continued to like broaden my understanding of this world and the needs that the world has and how much bigger it is than who I was, and just gave me a love for missions and gave me a heart for his people. And so that's just a little bit, I guess, of my story, kind of long story, but the Lord really, he took someone that was just struggling just to find who they were and gave them a purpose and identity in who he was. And just, it's amazing to see what the Lord will do when you just say yes.
Praise God. When I hear your story, and this isn't the first time, this saying that I've heard before, like, the things that make you leave God can also be the same things that make you cleave to God. Right. And you could have been very bitter in that season of, well, I don't know who I am, and I don't know what my future is. And, you know, that's kind of the place where you start experimenting on who you are and stuff. But
right.
You took this shame, this hurt to the right person. You took it to Jesus. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the story of David when he is separated and outcast, and God is just ministering and talking and building them up for, well, he didn't really know in that season, so that when God puts the anointing on David, says that you're going to be king, it comes kind of out of nowhere. And I just, when I hear your story, it just always reminds me of David.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing when the Lord takes something that you feel like you have nothing to offer, and he takes your nothingness and turns it into something that's so beautiful. And I mean, today I'm so thankful for the struggles that I went through as a kid, that they taught me perseverance. And I truly look back on those struggles and like that's what gave me the strength to be who I am today and what made me who I am today. So it's truly in our suffering and in our brokenness that God can move and can call things out of us that we didn't even know were there. So just very thankful for Jesus.
Amen. So we now know where you're coming from. Can you tell us a little bit of what you're doing now?
Yeah. So from there, so I went on those missions trips, and in 2017, the Lord put a burden on my heart to start campus ministry. And for anyone who knows what CMI is, I was at a national youth convention, and I really felt a burden to start a campus ministry. I knew I was going to be going to college within the next year. And for me, this was something really new, right? I was homeschooled. My family is in church. I was only, most of my friends were all in church. So I had really not been around the lot, like, at all at this point. Like, literally, I grew up in a small town, so basically all of the people that I interacted with on a regular basis were saved. And so I felt this burden, you know, to go to my college campus and to start a ministry for the lost. And so the Lord has taken that, and so we're 3 years down the road from starting Connect CMI, and the Lord has taught me so much. I say it all the time, like, I knew absolutely nothing getting started, going into that, like, how to start a campus ministry, what that means, what it looks like to be an evangelist, to be a missionary to the lost. I had no idea what that truly meant. And so it's been a process of Jesus just teaching and showing me things about myself, but then also things about how to reach the lost. And it's been a wonderful and beautiful process. I'm sure we'll get into more of the details kind of as we go on, but that's where he has me right now. So I'm currently on my college campus, the University of Texas at Dallas here. And the Lord has just done amazing things over the last 3 years. I could sit here and talk for hours about the many testimonies that I could have to share. But we are still believing for revival here. And I believe that we're very close to breakthrough, claim it in faith, very close to breakthrough for the students here on this campus. And then the Lord's kind of has me even further than that. And almost it's a transition season for me, a season of letting go. I'm graduating in May, and the Lord's not finished with me here at UTD, but it's definitely going to be a transition process and a process of moving on in a lot of different areas of life and seasons of life. So it's definitely been an interesting road these past few weeks. I feel like the Lord has really opened up different things and just shown me things about myself and learning how to let go and really surrender control and just let him guide when it looks like it's kind of a blank slate right now. Like I don't have the plan set for the summer. I don't have the plan set for the fall. And I've never been in a place like that in my life. And so really just relinquishing everything to him and learning how to serve God with an open hand about everything in life has been, it's been a powerful 2 weeks.
I believe that. Yeah, that's awesome. And also congratulations for graduating in the next few months. That's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
One thing that I remember you telling me, and I think it was kind of offhanded, you said that one thing that you desired when starting a CMI would be something that would outlive you, that once you left, it would be continuing on. And something that, you know, I've heard the stories of what's going on in that campus. I've heard the stories of the other leaders. And I can honestly say it's going to be something that definitely outlives you. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have a role in the next foreseeable future. But it's probably very reassuring and very nice to know that there are extremely capable ministers that are on the campus after you graduate.
Yes, it's very comforting knowing just that was part of the vision the Lord gave at the very beginning, that to establish something that would outlast, because, you know, you're not in college forever. And the Lord has truly established something that will outlive me. And I was actually talking to one of my friends today that was with me when we first started this ministry. And she's now ministering in her church, and their church is just seeing mighty revival right now. But we both were just like so thankful. We're like, it's because of campus ministry, because of the things that the Lord birthed in us and did in us on this campus, that she now can go back to her church and have the tools to know how to do spiritual warfare, how to go out and have evangelism and do outreach, how to organize things. And because so much of that was sowed into her on this campus. And so the revival is spreading, and it's not, and again, the burden when we started this here at UTD, the burden was never just for UTD, but the burden was always for Dallas, for North Texas, for the churches around the Metroplex area, and to have revival. And I truly believe that the Lord, in the things that he's birthed here at UTD and birthed in the people that have come through this ministry, that he's spreading that fire. So it's just a beautiful thing to see the burden, and then also the prophecies that the Lord has given us, see those things come to pass. It's truly mind-blowing.
That's awesome. Praise God. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Knowing that God has planted a seed of a burden for mission work ever since you were little, what does that look like now?
Yeah, so just as a kid, like I can remember when missionaries would come to our church, and I was like, that was like the highlight of my church experience as a kid, is like these missionaries come, they bring all their cool little things that you can buy from them in the back. And then they have all of their stories, and they show you these slideshows of these countries. And I was always the kid, like I'd run to my parents and like, mom, dad, can I like empty out my piggy bank? Like, we have to give all the money that I have to these missionaries. And it was just like, I can remember just being such a cool thing. I think my dream job as a kid was probably to be a missionary, which is such a cool thing that the Lord like allowed that in my life at such a young age. But you, again, in my testimony, you heard like started baking for She's for Christ, which is a global missions ministry. And then going on a couple of different AYC trips, and I can tell you right now, like, I so badly want to go back on the field. And I was actually, I'm graduating this semester, and I was actually supposed to be aiming in Tanzania this summer. And right now with COVID, the global travel is very tedious. And so it's actually, you can't travel into Tanzania and get out in a safe manner. And so that's not happening this year. And so in the past few weeks, I've just been praying, like, Lord, is maybe somewhere else? Am I supposed to go somewhere else? Like, I want to go so badly. And I made this statement a couple of weeks ago. I think it takes more faith to stay than to go. And I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I was like, it seems like literally the perfect time in my life to go, right? Like, I'm graduating. I'm debt free. I won't have a job. Like, when I graduate, my job ends. When I graduate, my apartment lease ends. I have money saved up to go on a missions trip. Like, all of these things seem like it's like the perfect timing from my perspective, right? And it was kind of in that conversation that God was like, yeah, from your perspective, it seems like the perfect time to go. But from my perspective, I need you to wait, and I need you to stay exactly where you're at right now, and to grow and to sow where you're at. And so I think that's part of the sacrifice. Like, missions is, it's a huge sacrifice for so many. And I feel like because it seemed like the right time in my eyes, that it's a sacrifice to stay rather to go and to sow where I'm at. And so, and truly, again, I mentioned this just a while ago to you, John, I feel like over these past few years, the Lord has showed me that the missions field is truly everywhere. The missions field is right where we live. It's the neighbor. It's our classmate. It's our coworker. That's the mission field. And so I think before we go overseas, before we think, oh, I need to be a missionary, you have to become truly a missionary exactly where you're at. So I don't know what the Lord has in store. I know, as Brother Poitras likes to say, I'm called to be a goer. And so wherever the Lord allows that to go in the future, and I'm just, here I am, Lord, send me where you want me.
That's amazing. You've been to my church before, and there's this mural, I think, on both sides of the building as you're walking out.
Yes.
You can't see it while you're coming in, but when you're walking out, you see it. It says, you are now entering the mission field. When people say missions, they always think out of North America, out of first world countries, you know. But it's literally right as you open your door, that's the mission field. Like, we have so many people who are trapped in sin, trapped in mental illness, trapped in drug use. We have so many people trapped in tradition. We have so many people trapped right outside our door. Like, if you open up to the Spirit, you can feel what's going on around you, and it's not okay. Like, we currently are in like the last days. So the mission field is right when you open the door, and to neglect what your purpose is, to neglect being a sent one, to neglect your calling and to minister the word, like, we don't really have much time left. We don't have that luxury.
Right.
Like, God is searching for people who want to be used, and he's not going to knock on your door forever. Like, you need to have it settled in your mind that whatever God says I'm going to do, if I'm willing to wait until I get an answer, because I don't want to produce something in the flesh that goes against God, even if it's spiritual. And that's the thing. Like, you could leave college right now and go and do tremendous things in the spirit, but be outside of God's will. Like,
right.
You could be praying people through to the Holy Ghost and all that stuff and still be outside of God's will. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength and a lot of trust in God to say, okay, I'm content. I'm content being here.
Exactly.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry to go there, but I'm full here. So
yes,
whatever
exactly.
You want me to do, I'm ready.
Right. That's definitely something the Lord has been teaching me is contentedness. Like, that is a word he's spoken multiple times over the last few weeks, is just to be content where you're at. And we know how to be abased and we know how to be full, right? So we know how to hunger and thirst after God, but to be full exactly where we're at. And so that's something he's actually had me pray every day, is just, Lord, I'm becoming content in this exact moment, in this exact place, wherever I'm at in this moment, that's where I'm going to be content, because that's where God has me. And I feel like that's relinquishing control. That's living for God with an open hand. And when we do that, there's not any pressure in that. So
I find myself on this podcast often talking about the things that my pastor talks about, which, first of all, if you're not talking about the things that your pastor's talking about, there's a problem. my pastor recently preached, I think you were at the service in which he did it, that devotion is going to get you further than emotion is. If you're living from spiritual emotion to spiritual emotion, that you're going to be starved. It's not going to work. You're going to miss the calling of God. You're going to miss God completely. But if you're living in a devotion, which is intentional and hard, that's where the blessing is. That's where the will is. That's where the anointing is. And where you are, it's not very emotional right now. It's like, what am I supposed to do? But the devotion that God has already planted in you, in your life, in your walk, the devotion that's already there is going to see you through this season, this questionable season, so that when the next spiritual emotional moment happens, you're not going to get all riled up, but you're going to be like, all right, let's press to the next.
Right. Exactly.
That's awesome. So knowing that you have a burden for evangelism, but God also has placed you in a position of pouring into our generation, what has that process been like? Knowing that you're here for a reason, and I think the reason is that there are people around you that need to hear the words that you have to say, that God has placed into your testimony, that God has been working through you. What has that process been like?
Right. So, John, when you asked me this question a couple of days ago, I was just like, wow, like that's a God thing right there. Like, that's a question from the Lord. And just to give the listeners a little bit of context, maybe for this question from my perspective when I read it. So I mentioned I've been doing campus ministry for about 3 years now. And so as we think of harvest, like, we want to see people, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And we've seen a couple of people filled with the Holy Ghost through our ministry, but none of them have been students. And so I've yet to see the revival that I've been praying for these years come to UTD, right? I've yet to see a UTD student filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in Jesus' name. And so for me, feeling called to start this ministry, and that was why we started it, right? Like, the goal, the intent is for people to be saved, right? For students to come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And so that was very hard and something I often struggled with, like, God, like, this seems like a failure. Like, why are we sowing so much into this and not seeing the harvest that you've promised? And so for me, it's been this process of letting go, again, letting go, relinquishing control. And it's something the Lord still speaks to me on, even up into this season of continually, God, I'm letting go of the harvest. And so we're called to be seed sowers, right? We're called to be seed sowers, and maybe we don't see the complete fruition of that seed. But what the Lord has done through Connect CMI is incredibly powerful. I mentioned a little bit earlier that I was talking to a friend today who is part of the original group who started this campus ministry, and how she's taken things that were birthed in her while she was here at UTD, and she's now using them in her church, and she's now being a spark of revival for her church and warring for her church. And there are multiple young people who have been a part of connect CMI, that without the things that were sewn into them, me being one of them, that they wouldn't be who they are today in God. And all of those young people are still in ministry and they're still working for the kingdom of God. And a statement I made when we first started this was, if we don't see one soul saved, but we all stay in church and minister through our time in college and we come out on the other side still serving God, then while I will count this as a success. I will count what the Lord is calling us to do as a success. And obviously, we didn't want that. Like, we want souls to be saved. And I have so much faith. Again, I mentioned we're very close to breakthrough. I believe it with every fiber within my being. God is going to pour out revival here for the students on this campus. But there have been seeds sown into young people's lives. And then just this year, the Lord has really, well, this, I guess, 2020 and then 2021, the Lord has really opened so many doors for Connect to be able to become a ministry, really to the young people of this district, and then just also just friends of the group that we have here, the team that we have. And so it's been beautiful. A beautiful process to be able to connect people across the nation. We actually have a Zoom call that we do every other Thursday. And most of the time we have people from multiple different states, apostolic young people get on this call, and they're hungry for God. They're starving for God. And I've so many times, it's saddening and frustrating that a lot of times when young people are hungry and seeking after God and desiring to be used of God, they so many times feel alone. And so what the Lord has allowed Connect to do in these past few months is create a space for those young people to come and have a community where it's not just accepted to be a Jesus fanatic, it's encouraged. Everyone's a Jesus fanatic. And just to have a time of just sharing what the Lord is speaking to you and having that community and that brotherly love one to another, and just allowing it to be a springboard back into wherever your ministry is. And so this campus ministry, it's not even a campus ministry call anymore, but it's just young people who are hungry for the things of God. And we've seen the miraculous, and the Lord has spoken and just done so many wonderful things. And then, and through that, the Lord has connected us to, with so many people just to sow into. And again, it's like, God, like, these aren't UTD students. Like, these aren't students that need to be saved. These are students who are just, they're growing in their ministry. And like, I didn't think this is where you wanted me. I didn't think this is what you called me to. And so for me, it's been this struggle. And it's been, again, that process of letting go and relinquishing control. And God, whatever the harvest, whatever your timing for the harvest is, that's what I want. And for me, like, there was this sense of urgency, this pressure, right? I'm graduating in May. Like, I've not seen someone filled with the Holy Ghost yet. I've not seen someone baptized yet. Like, God, like, we have to hurry up. We have to make it happen, like, now. And just the other day, try to do outreach on a daily basis. And the Lord is like, no, you're not going to do outreach today. And instead, he had me walk around and pray and just kind of meditate on him. And he's like, you have to leave the harvest in my time. You have to leave it in my hands. And again, I'm going to come back to it over and over again, because it's a theme that the Lord's speaking into my world right now, is relinquishing that control and serving God. I have to have an open hand for the harvest to come to fruition. And in all of our doing, we help make the harvest happen, but ultimately we cannot make the harvest happen. And so I feel like you probably have several campus ministers that listen to this podcast, John. And if I could just speak to them for a minute, there's this so much pressure that so many times is put on ourselves as campus ministers. We put the pressure of the revival, we put the pressure of the harvest on ourselves, and we pressure ourselves to make it happen. And then when stuff doesn't happen, when we're in a lull or when we're in a season of just like this question, sowing into the next generation rather than evangelizing and rather than seeing the harvest of lost souls. And we can look at that and think is that as a failure. And that's not what the Lord would have. The Lord would have us look at that. That's exactly what the Lord has for that season of ministry. And again, if we relinquish that control and leave the harvest in God's hands, He will water it when it needs to be watered, and He will bring the seeds to fruition when they need to be brought to fruition. And when we serve God like that, and when we leave it in His hands, it removes all the pressure. It removes the weight and the burden, and His yoke truly is light. It truly is easy when we serve God right, when we're truly walking in submission and in surrender, when we're not sowing to the flesh, because the flesh has that pressure, right? The flesh is what puts that pressure on ourselves. It's pride when we think we can make the harvest happen. But when we serve God in surrender and in submission and in humility and walk in that daily, then every day we simply do exactly what He's asking of us, exactly what He's calling us to, no more and no less. And that's walking in peace, and that's walking in the will of God. So that's just kind of a little synopsis of the process that the Lord has kind of brought me through that question. Again, it was a God thing, because that it very well kind of sums up the process that He's done in me with campus ministry in that.
Praise God. And it's a next level God thing, because you also didn't have that question prepared at all. So that was like, yes. that was the flow of the Holy Ghost right there. And just, wow, you can just hear the cry of God, the burden of God. That is amazing. And you spoke such timely things and such good things for people who are either at your position, who are transitioning out of CMI, or people that are at the position where they are in CMI and they should have this mindset when it comes to this, because God's always going to do the unexpected. That's what He's best at. If you have an idea of what God is going to do, He's going to pivot, because He's not going to let flesh, He's not going to let humanity take glory in what has been foreordained to be His glory. He's going to curse the things that the flesh tries to produce. It happens time and time again. I have an idea of where God's going to be leading me, and it's, oh, 180. I have an idea of a calling that God has. Other idea. Like, I literally had a season. It was so funny. So I wanted to be a evangelist so bad. I wanted to be a minister, like a traveling minister. I would have people come through the church often with these just fire words. By fire, I mean the Holy Ghost fire, not this like modern term fire, but with this Holy Ghost fire. And I would just be so moved and touched by the message, and I just desired to be used in that capacity. And one service, God was like, guess what? I was like, what? He was like, I don't want you to go for your minister's license. And I was like, what? And that kind of brought me to a very low season in my life. And God led me through this process of, you don't need a minister's license to be used. There's so much that you can do for the kingdom. You don't need to have an official title to be used. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, God, I understand that. Awesome. Yeah, it's just you and me, God. We're going to take this. It's going to be awesome. And then we have this prophet come in, and he is he's speaking the word of God. He's talking to people directly. He doesn't talk to me at all. And I'm like, God, what's my word? I want a word, like, God. And he is just like, hey, guess what? I'm like, what? He's like, I want you to go for your minister's license. I'm like, but God, you just said what? But I was like, okay. And so I've just submitted to God, and I'm just like, now I just don't want to have an idea of what He's doing. I'm just going to be blindfolded from now on, because, you know, it's so much easier to just allow God to order the footsteps instead of me kind of like peeping around and looking and seeing what He's doing. Just to be content where you are. Don't stop looking forward. Stop looking forward.
Yeah. And I think, John, what you said there at the beginning, and that the Lord will always crush what is not giving glory to Him. And I think that is in whatever ministry that you're in, that is a very applicable thing. If you are in some capacity are going to receive the glory for what is done, then God's going to, it's going to be that pivot. It's going to be that 180 turn. And I think especially here in campus ministry, something that we talk about often is that it's going to have to be so blow you away that when people look at it, when people see the results, see whatever happens, that it's so mind-boggling and it's so miraculous that you can't help but glorify God. Like no man could ever make it happen. And again, like we work in the kingdom to make things happen, but ultimately it's God who makes them happen. And that's when the miraculous shows up, when it was so beyond anything we could have ever done. And so I think so many times like our pride gets in the way and we think, oh, like, or we're having a bad day or we're having a low day or we're just struggling right now. And that I feel like is when the Lord can sometimes minister through us at the best, when we're at our worst and our lowest. And just kind of the Lord's bringing this to my mind right now. This past Sunday morning, I was just having a really rough day and some things had transpired and I was kind of frustrated. And I was praying with some people on the altar and I was like, God, like, I feel just very low and very empty right now. Like, how can I pray and minister to these people? And I had my hand on this lady's back and was just praying for her. And I knew she was going through a rough time. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment. And he said, all you have to do is be connected to the vine and be an open conduit. Because if you're connected to the vine, what is in the vine is flowing directly through you and out to that individual. And my gauge is staying on empty, right? Like I'm not getting filled up. But I'm taking exactly what is coming from the vine and being a conduit to exactly what that person needs. And so I'll come to a place in prayer when I'm alone and the Lord will fill my tank back up. But it doesn't matter if I'm at my lowest and if my tank is literally on E, if I'm broken, if I'm hurting in that moment. But as long as I'm connected to the vine and that flow is open, I can still minister and God can still get the glory. And you look at someone and you're like, where did that even come from? Like they're going through such a hard time in life right now, but they were such a strength and ministered to me. And that's when God comes in and gets the glory. And that's what it's all about, is the Lord getting the glory for it.
Amen. I remember having evangelist Ryan Neer come to our church and he had a word from God. He was talking about how all of us in this generation, we desire to be like Moses while God has called us to be a burning bush. We need to stop comparing ourselves to Old Testament like examples. Yes, those stories are significantly longer and you can pick and glean up a glean of like who they are as a person, but we have the Holy Ghost. They were surrounded by the Holy Ghost, but we have the Holy Ghost in us. And our life with God is a lot more like the book of Acts. And the reason why the book of Acts is not that large is because if it was, we would try to draw our conclusions of what we're supposed to be based off the book of Acts. Now, there are principles of what we're supposed to be in the book of Acts. What I'm trying to say is God doesn't want to be put in a box. I am a person who I hate the mundane. I don't want to be put in a box. I don't like that at all. I'm kind of crazy. And God hates being put in a box. The moment that you conceive or have a plan or have an idea of what God is going to be doing, you're putting him in a box. And the revival and harvest and the will of God is spirit. There's nothing that the flesh can do to benefit it. So to try to use the flesh to produce it, it's not going to work. God has such an outpouring, and it's just like, to put it in the words is so crazy. Like God has such an outpouring. Like I'm going to say a promise that is in my district right now. The promise that God gave to my church is that 100,000 souls in this county is going to be saved. That was the promise given to my bishop. Now, the thing is, the flesh cannot produce that. That is a spirit thing. To toil in the flesh to produce that is vain, and it will never happen. But the moment, and you said it, and I love this word so much, the moment that you just say, okay, God, and the moment that you just say, I will be a conduit, that's where the thing is going to change. I used to think that God wanted a Jesus-flavored John. Like, you know, it's still John, but, you know, we're doing a collab with Jesus.
Right.
No, like, John has died. John died in that tank. John dies daily. John is not beneficial to the will of God. I am just a conduit. The best parts of me is Jesus. And to try to love on my capacity, I'm going to run out. To try to minister at my capacity, I'm going to run out. To try to do anything that God has called for me to do in my own capacity, I'm going to fail. I can't produce the fruits that God needs me to produce. Only the Spirit can produce the fruits. And all I have to do is be a willing conduit to just grab onto God's hand and let Him lead and just allow Him to flow and allow Him to minister and allow Him to speak. We're supposed to be the, you know, the eyes of God. We're supposed to be the mouth of God. We're supposed to be the legs and arms of God. We're supposed to, we're called a body because we're supposed to do these things for God, but we're not supposed to do it in the flesh. We're supposed to do it in the Spirit. So I am so hungry for the things of the Spirit, and I can't let this flesh get in the way. I need to be used of God far more than God needs to use me. He can find someone that's going to be willing to submit if I'm going to try to toil in the flesh. He's going to find someone else who He's going to give my blessing and my calling to. And I need to be used more than anything else. I need God to use me more than anything else. I need Him to give me my calling. I need Him to flow through me in every moment. I can't do this. I don't want to do this. Like, I love God so much. The God who called me out of this world, the God who saw me at the lowest of moments, the God who saw me in school where I also struggled and where my teachers thought that I was dumb, the God who touched my life, the God who led my mother into this church that later brought me, that God loves me so much that He's not going to allow me to do this promise, to do His will in my flesh. He loves me so much that He's going to fight and fight. But there's a point where the Spirit has to leave and where the Spirit has to start bringing the revival and the harvest. And I might be saved by the end of it, but I'm not going to be used to the capacity that God wanted to use me. And I need to be used. I need to be part of that remnant. I need to be a part of the church. Right. I need that. So I'm just burdened. Like, there are so many people that that might be listening to this, and they might have a lackadaisical mindset. You know, like, you know, I don't like to plan about the future because I was a planner. I loved to have an idea of what the future could possibly hold. I would think of possibilities for the decision. So I would have a decision tomorrow. I would think about all the outcomes that could possibly happen, so I'd have an idea of what could happen. And now I don't do that anymore because God's going to do it, you know? Like, like, there are so many people that think that, you know, they might have kids and they might have grandkids and they might have great grandkids. That's not promised to you. Tomorrow's not promised to you. So get off your butt and start praying. Like, honestly, like, you're only promised this moment. Like, God can just, like, snap right now and harvest and revival outbreaks because He has that power. He has all of this perfectly placed the way that He wants. His masterpiece doesn't make sense to us now because we're in the painting. But when we get called up, we'll have a perspective of this masterpiece that we are like, oh, that's what you're doing. That's what you were doing over there. Like,
exactly.
Like, we need to stop trying to take the paintbrush out of God's hand and just allow Him to paint the wonderful, beautiful masterpiece that He is. And so that when we get raptured up, we can have an understanding of the masterpiece and it's perfectly done the way that He had planned. I don't know. I felt burdened to say that.
Amen. No, I think so many times we can get distracted by our future what's our future ministry going to look like? What has God called us to? And I feel like as young people, apostolic young people especially, we look and we're like, we're always searching for, right, the calling of God. What's my calling? What's my calling? What's my calling? And it's always that lifelong thing, and we can get distracted, so distracted by what the Lord has for us in the future, that we forget that we're ministers here and today, that we're missionaries here today. We're called to pray today in this moment. And when we recognize that, and we instead, we stop praying, God, what's my calling? Where's my future? What's tomorrow hold? And start inquiring of God, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want in this detail? What do you want in this moment? What do you want me to pray right now? And we start asking those types of questions. That's when the Lord can show up and can move. And when we truly, we seek first the kingdom of God, all those other things will be added unto us. And it removes that distraction out of our lives and allows God to move in the here and now. So it's so good.
Yeah, like the thing is, someone might be listening to this and they might say, oh, wow, they're just really anointed. They're so smart. Like, God is using them. Like, remember what we said earlier. Like, I was dumb in school. I didn't have much potential by the worldly standards. Like, I what you're hearing is not of my own ability. It is by the grace of God. It's by the power of God that dwells in me. I can't produce this. And I know that you can say the same for yourself, not calling you dumb because you're actually really smart.
No.
but God is no respecter of persons. If you have a desire to be used of God, if you desire to have a relationship with God, Amen. If you desire to be called of God, then guess what? Pause this episode and lay down on your face, put your head in the carpet, and allow God to just touch your life. And then God is going to give you very specific things in this moment that you will have to do that he can understand. So you can show to him that he can trust you, because we have to trust God, but God also has to trust us, because this is far greater than you and I. This has gone back thousands of years. This has gone back when there wasn't anything here and it was just an idea in his head. This is far greater than us, and he has to be able to trust us with what he gives us. So I honestly just pause this episode and pray to God and start talking to him about what you desire and start repenting and allow God to touch your life. And when God tells you what to do, do that, and God will bless you for that.
Amen.
We're gonna pivot off that heavy moment. So we know that you're called, and the great thing about calling is we can say that we're called and have no idea what our calling is, because that's what God says. He's like, you're called, you're chosen, but you don't know what. All right, so let me just read the question. What did you do when you felt the calling? Like, what have you learned about following the calling since that time?
Right. Yeah. So, a lot of times I think people have this moment where, oh, I was called of God, in this moment, or I felt the call to preach here. I felt the call to be a missionary, the call to be an evangelist. And I don't really have that moment, in my story where I felt that call, but I've always felt called as far back as I can remember, just feeling the calling of God. And living life for Jesus has always been the only option. Doing ministry has always been the only option. It's not been, oh, I might take this career path, or I might do this, or I might have a family, or it's always been God. It's always been the calling of God. And one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 11:29, says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And it truly is. Once you are called, once you are given a gift, those things are without repentance. And so we have to answer that call. And it goes beyond that. One of the scriptures when I was growing up as a young person, one of my favorite scriptures was, for many are called, but few are chosen. And then again, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
A peculiar people.
Yeah, a peculiar people. But so again, and John, what we were just talking about earlier, everyone has a calling of God. Everyone has a calling of God, but it's what you decide to do with that calling. That are you going to be chosen? Are you going to be chosen of God? It's up to you. What are you going to do with the calling of God? And so having that calling and then moving into it, like where has it brought me? And we've dove into my story a lot into this, and just again, the calling of God, when you say yes to that, and when you submit to that, and when you give yourself to prayer and you give your life to ministry, everything else is kind of, you see things through the lens of Jesus. You see things through the lens of the calling of God. And so it's not, you're not going to college to pursue a degree or to pursue a career. You're going to college to be a campus minister, right? And on the side, you're getting a degree. On the side, you're probably going to have a career. And so it's never, oh, I'm going to be a speech therapist. I'm going to be a speech therapist who does ministry. Who speaks into students' lives, and wherever the Lord has you, it's always the calling is first, and everything else comes secondary, and that's the truth there too. Is you can be called anywhere, you can by vocational ministry, you can have a job and still be used of God. You don't have to be in full-time ministry to be used of God, but you, again, going back to it, you can be used exactly where you're at, exactly where you are today. The mission field is around you. And so I think a lot of times the calling of God is like this taboo subject, right? Like young people of the church, like it's, oh, find your calling. Or I'm not called, or I don't feel called, or when is my calling going to come? And again, we can get so distracted and so caught up in that. And let me just tell you, if you're listening to this podcast, whomever you are called, you're called of God, and it's up to you. If you are going to submit to that, are you going to give your life to it? And once you are called, remember that calling is without repentance. And I'm going to say it again, you are called. And that calling that is on your life is without repentance. And so I challenge you, just submit to that, humble yourself, and say yes to the Lord and whatever he has for you. And he's going to lead you, and he's going to guide you, and he will speak into your life and open those doors before you if you will just remain faithful in prayer, remain faithful in reading your word. And God, again, we've talked about campus ministry. I knew nothing starting out. I didn't know anything. I didn't grow up in a pastor's kid's home. I didn't have that training. And the Lord will train you. When you feel like you have no one else, the Lord will train you, and the Lord will show you the doors and the path to take.
You were talking about how everyone's called, and that's 100% the truth. And I feel like there's a misconception when it comes to calling, and that hopefully this will illuminate whatever it is. When you're young, you think that there's going to be a word spoken over you. There's like your young adult leader or your youth leader or your pastor is going to come up, and it's going to be like a super spiritual moment. He's going to be like, "Thus saith the Lord, you are called to preach." That doesn't happen for everyone. But the thing is, the Bible is filled with so many callings, and it's filled with so many promises. And so, just if you open your book, it's going to tell you things that you are called to do. You're called to be a blessing to the people around you. You're called to minister to the people around you. If you're looking for a calling, there's two right there. It's in your book, and that book is for everybody. So if you're looking for a calling, allow God to minister to you in those areas. And when you show yourself trustworthy in there, he's going to elevate you to the next level, whether that is putting you into a different office building where there's going to be greater revival there. I mean, we're all called to be use. We're all called to spread the gospel. We're all called to spread the gospel. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. And the thing is, I feel like a lot of modern day Christianity trivializes the word saint, but the bare minimum that you can be is a saint. Like, it's not like this elevated position where, like, you have to hear from, you know, God himself as he crack opens the veil and, you know, you see the glory of God in a chariot. Like, where was I going? It's late. I've never recorded this late.
Yeah, I made John stay up. I'm in Texas and he's an hour behind, so I made him stay up really late to do this recording.
But praise God.
Yes. You are called, whomever you are, yes. And just submit to that.
And you're allowed to fail. Like, you know, we're all yes. training, you know. Yes. Like, this is a whole new season for me, and you know, God's doing a great work. So praise him.
Praise the Lord.
I get really crazy and really funny at night, so I do apologize. Okay, so let's get a little bit close to home. Like, what has God been leading you to study? What has your devotionals been looking like recently?
Yeah, so some of these next few questions, they kind of bleed over into one another, but a subject the Lord has really just like had me kind of study in and hone in on, and we've already kind of touched on it a little bit, even it's come out in the conversations, but is righteousness. And I'm going to go ahead and put a plug in here. If you've not listened to Bishop Wright's Shame Seminar, it's really yes. long, but it will change your life. And so I honestly didn't even realize like how much of like the revelation and what the Lord has had me study and given me in this like came from that. But that's really, really where this started. And so this concept of righteousness, I've grown up in church, been in church my whole life, and I've never understood what righteousness truly was until just recently. And so you think of the word righteousness and you think, okay, well, it's doing what's right, right? Like it, you know, it's doing the right thing. It's choosing the right thing. And Bishop Wright makes this statement and he says, you can never become righteous by doing right. And that just like floored me because it took my whole concept of what righteousness was and just like, what? You can never become righteous by doing right. I thought that's what righteousness was. And so I began to look into this word righteousness. And so what does righteousness mean? And righteousness means to be in right standing with God. And another word for righteousness is justification. And justification, another something Bishop Wright likes to say is justification, it's just as if it never happened. And so when we go down in baptism and we go down in baptism in the name of Jesus and we come back up again, we are now we're clothed in Jesus Christ's righteousness. And the scripture tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags, right? Our righteousness is riddled with holes. It's riddled with sin. It's riddled with all of this filthiness. It's quite filthy smelly. Rags. Yeah, very smelly. Very smelly. It's the flesh. It's the flesh that's, and especially after repentance, right? Your flesh has died. And so now it's rotting. And that then when we are baptized, we're buried. And all those things are buried and they're put under the blood. And Jesus's righteousness is pure and it's white as snow. And so we're washed in that righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when we've been buried in baptism, we have this opportunity to be able to put on his robe of righteousness every day. And so becoming righteous, being in right standing with God, justified before him, is never about doing right. It's about humbling yourself and receiving the atonement, receiving the sacrifice that God paid for when he died on the cross. And so this example, and I think this is an example Brother Wright actually uses in the Shame Seminar. But if you think about a courtroom, and you go into a courtroom and you've committed these sins, right? And you are on trial for these sins. And so even in our courtroom in today's standards, let's say you committed murder or you committed fraud and the judge pardons you. And it's like, okay, for whatever reason, you were pardoned and you walk out of there with no sentence. You didn't have to go to jail. You didn't have to serve your time, but that is on your record for the rest of time. That will be on your name for the rest of time. Anytime you go try to get a job anywhere, that's going to be there. But in the courtroom of heaven, this is so cool. In the courtroom of heaven, when Jesus pardons your sins, you're made innocent, completely innocent. It's not just pardoned, but it's just as if it never happened. It's that righteousness, that justification that happens. And that, when we understand that, that's the authority that we have through baptism, is to be innocent before God. We're literally completely innocent. So we're restored back to Adam and Eve in the garden. We're restored back to that complete communion with God. And that's what we have access to as Jesus' name believers. We have access to that every day to be able to put on that righteousness. And that removes the pressure, right? So many times we want to walk in pressure. But when we put on those robes of righteousness and we're clothed in his innocence, it removes pressure. And we have to humble ourselves to receive that righteousness. Like we can't, it's our pride that makes us want to do what's right to earn the righteousness, right? In our society, we think we have to earn everything. We have to earn whatever success. We have to earn success. Well, we cannot earn righteousness by doing what's right. Like it's a concept that is counterintuitive to our brains, but we have to humble ourselves before God. Lord, I receive your righteousness. So this just has been this journey really that the Lord has taken me on and given me this revelation on. And so now is something that he has me pray every day. Lord, I humble myself right now to receive your righteousness. I take off my filthy rags and I receive your clothing of righteousness. And that's what allows us to be in right standing with God and allows us to minister and be in the flow, because we are in right standing with God. And it's a beautiful concept.
It's really crazy that you actually brought this up, because we didn't actually plan this whatsoever, what was going to be discussed here. Not too long ago, I had a season in which I was kind of beating my head against the wall of like, God, I'm trying to do good, but I'm not doing good. And, you know, I keep on trying to do the right thing. And eventually, you know, I got so fed up with myself, you know, like it's what Paul says, you know, I try to do good and I do evil. And The thing is, I had a dear brother of mine come up to me in a service and he was just like, why do you keep on trying to save yourself? Jesus has already done that. He has already died for you. When you try to save yourself, you're essentially saying that Jesus' crucifixion, his dying for our sins, was not good enough for you. And I'm like, oh God. And he was saying these things. And interestingly enough, these are very harsh words. He was able to deliver it in such a way of love. And that's how you know it's a God thing, where the most convicting word that could be delivered is received in love. That's how you know it's God. So he's saying to me all these things that, you know, the law, if I try to live by the law, I'm going to die by the law. And I need to stop allowing the law to dictate how I live my life and allow Christ and his work dictate how I live my life. And this wasn't too long ago. And like, if you find yourself in that place where you just keep on going the circle of, oh, I'm doing good, and then, oh, I'm not doing good. And it's like this repetitive circle, this sin cycle that, you know, the Israelites were in during the time of Judges. You need to break that cycle. You need to break the wheel and just realize that you're never going to, as we said earlier, you're never going to produce the righteousness that you need to enter into heaven. So instead of trying to make your robes, your dingy robes, look nice, cast that aside and allow Christ to cover you. And something that was very interesting and often went unlooked when I read the garden story in Genesis, God clothed them. He slaughtered an animal so that he could clothe them. And when you think about that, in Genesis chapter 3, God is already revealing Christ to us. Genesis chapter 3, you know, it says that Christ is going to stomp on the head of the serpent. But it goes further. Christ is going to die for us so that we can be covered of our sin and transgression. And that's just so beautiful that in Genesis, God was trying to put in our mind that we need to be clothed by him. That someone right. had to die so that we could be in a right standing with him. And I just find that amazing that God is just time and time again, example and example, tried to tell us that it's not our righteousness. Our righteousness will not come close to the glory of God, but God himself will. So when you allow God to dwell inside of you and you allow and you put on his righteousness, you're going to be welcomed at the gate. You're going to make it. And that's just beautiful.
Amen.
We're going to pivot to this next question. What moment or moments do you look back to for strength and reassurance?
Yeah. So this is a really interesting question. So I kind of describe the voice of God in my life as a dripping faucet. And that's kind of maybe an odd concept, but that's what the way that I always think of it. And so the Lord, he speaks to me a lot of times through the process rather than just in the moment. Mm. And so for me, I draw strength from knowing that he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. And knowing that he is slow and steady and he is always in step with the season. I can always depend on him to speak right when I need him to. I can always depend on him to guide right when I need him to. And so it's not so much these moments, there are some landmark moments, but for me, it's really the process of God's faithfulness that I look back on and I draw strength from, that's what sustains me, is knowing that he's never left me, knowing that he's never forsaken me, knowing that because of all of the times before, he's here in this moment, and that's what gives me strength, rather than just even those moments of time, just the process of Jesus is always there.
Praise God. That's amazing. So I know that this podcast has been a blessing to someone. I know that the things that you have said has really touched someone's heart. So what would you say to someone who's listening to this and is desiring something more in their life? What would you say to someone who is trying to figure out what to do next?
Yeah. What the Lord has emphasized the most in in my whole walk with him, what he's emphasized the most to me and called me to the most is prayer. Nothing will replace your prayer life. If you are seeking direction, if you are looking for the next step is to pray. And I know that might sound boring, that might sound hard, that might sound tedious, and getting a prayer life is a process. And it's something that it might take you time to grow in. It took me time to grow in it. But a prayer life, getting a relationship with Jesus. You can't hear the voice of God to speak to someone else or to know what to do next if you don't have a relationship with him, right? Amen. You have to have this relationship with him to be able to sit down and speak to him, and then to listen, in turn to listen. If I never spent any time with my best friend, I wouldn't really know them very well. And so we have to spend time in the presence of God. So what would I tell you to do next? Where would I tell you to go? Look for direction, pray, and pray some more. And also get a relationship with the Word of God. When the Lord speaks, it's going to be in line with His Word. And so if you're questioning, like, was this the voice of God? Like, is this me talking? Is this the pizza talking? Like, if you have a relationship, yeah, if you have a relationship with the Word of God, you're going to know, like, this is in line with God's Word. This is the voice of God. And that's how you identify the voice of God versus the many other voices that are speaking into your life. And this is something we've said multiple times on this podcast already, that you can be a minister exactly where you're at. You are a minister of the gospel. And something that I think is really encouraging is understanding that you only have to be a single step ahead of someone else to guide them or to lead them in their next step. You only have to be a single step ahead of them. And so many times, I think we are at this point of, oh, I can't teach a Bible study, or I can't tell someone how to be saved. I don't know enough. I can't do enough. Well, all you have to do is be a single step ahead of someone else. And I promise you, there are many people around you that you are a step ahead of them. And just sharing that, minister to exactly where God has you planted. Get a relationship with Him, get a relationship with His Word, and I promise you, He will use you mightily.
Amen. If you're listening to this, I definitely recommend that you, you know, after this podcast is over, to go to a quiet place if you can, or if you're driving, to just, you know, turn off the music and really start talking to God. And allow Him to make sure that this word, these words that have been spoken here, fall on good ground, and allow that to become fruitful into your life. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. In fact, I know it has been a blessing to you. And I pray that God continues to talk to you and builds on your relationship. All right, I'll see you in the next episode. A huge thank you to Sister Minchie for coming on to the podcast. What she said was timely and of God. She really did express her burdens for this generation, and ministry just flowed from this conversation. So next week's episode comes out on Wednesday. It's a conversation with Brother Justin Gleason. So use this time in between episodes to catch up with previous episodes. I will see you next week.